Hello and welcome to another talk on Christian Science. This is Ann Beals, and my talk is coming to you from thebookmark.com, a website devoted entirely to Christian Science. This is the final talk in the series Christian Science in the 21st Century. It's entitled The Healing Power of God's Laws. In my previous talks, I discussed the scientific discovery of a supreme intelligence in the universe and how Christian Science is the key to this hidden realm. Finding this hidden realm opens up a future of infinite possibilities. It enables us to reach a higher level of intelligence, and it will put our prayers on a scientific basis so we can heal with greater confidence and success. It seems to me we're in need of such a prayer at this time, because everywhere we turn today, we find mental and emotional disorders, sickness and disease, and the disabilities of old age. It seems like staying healthy is a major issue. There was a time when we expected scientific research to find a cure for our many ailments, but this hope is growing dim because billions of dollars have been spent on research, and yet illness is as common today as it has ever been. The fact is, scientific research can't bring about universal health and well-being because the permanent healing of illness lies beyond the reach of the sciences. As we understand the hidden realm of supreme intelligence, we will learn that the cause of sickness, disease, and old age is actually mental, and so it can't be overcome through drugs and surgery. The way to true health is found in the healing element hidden in this intangible realm of divine intelligence. Our awareness of this realm is in its early stage, of course. The idea of a thinking cause in the universe is still very controversial, but as proof of its presence in the universe continues to grow, it will bring about the discovery of the incredible healing power hidden in this realm. And this healing power isn't new. It's as old as the universe. It permeates all time and space, like the principle of mathematics. It's available to everyone, everywhere, all the time. As the realm of supreme intelligence is revealed to us, we will find that the God in the Bible and the divine mind revealed in Christian Science and the supreme intelligence in the universe are all one in the same thing. And we will also discover that this hidden realm is scientific in nature. It's one of definite laws and qualities and structure. You know, when you think about it, if the universe is scientific, then the supreme intelligence has to be scientific too. If there are laws governing the visible universe, then there has to be laws governing the invisible realm. As we press deeper into the invisible realm of divine mind, we'll find that the healing element in this hidden realm is governed by moral and spiritual laws. And these laws are as absolute as the law of gravity or the speed of light. These moral and spiritual laws are absolute in the invisible realm of mind, just as physical laws are absolute in the visible universe. In order to heal mental and physical illness through prayer, we begin by recognizing the presence of these moral and spiritual laws. As you probably know, the Old Testament tells of men who were so spiritually minded that they had a natural ability to demonstrate this hidden power, such as Moses leading the children of Israel to the Promised Land, and Daniel in the lion's den, and the three Hebrew men in the fiery furnace. And of course, then came Christ Jesus. He brought to light the full healing potential in this realm of supreme intelligence. He understood it so well that he taught his disciples how to heal, and they in turn taught others. And this healing and teaching lasted for over 300 years before healing in early Christianity was lost. But the fact that spiritual healing continued for so many generations tells us that this healing element is a universal phenomena. It came to light again when Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science. Her revelation accurately defines the laws governing this realm of supreme intelligence, and it restores to us the lost element of spiritual healing. As we understand the laws in this hidden realm, we learn how to pray scientifically, and then we have consistent success in our healing work. I bring this out because it seems today God's laws are so violated. It's as though they're obsolete, old-fashioned, almost of no real importance. It's almost as though we believe we've gone beyond them. With the media pouring forth immorality and sensualism, materialism, violence, greed, and hate, we can be so mesmerized by it that we become to think that such standards are a normal state of things. But it seems the more we disregard the moral laws, the more difficult our very existence becomes. I'm trying to get across the fact that moral and spiritual laws are absolute. We can't defy them and expect to get impressive healings and a healthy, happy life. Moral and spiritual laws are enforced by the divine intelligence of the one mind, our God. Of course, by now, you're probably thinking that you're a good law-abiding citizen. You don't run red lights or sneak a little something out of the department store without paying. You work hard and pay your taxes, and you're kind to everyone. And I'm sure you are. On the other hand, if you're not as moral or honest as you should be, you probably know this too. But either way, we all have to travel this path from the human to the divine. Mrs. Eddy tells us that we do it either through science or suffering. So if you don't enjoy suffering, then I strongly urge you to take the scientific path that Christian Science offers. For the fact remains that sickness, disease, and old age come from some perhaps seemingly innocent violation of God's laws. These moral and spiritual laws extend throughout the universe, from our planet to the farthest reaches of outer space, and they are enforced. We can't escape these laws, for they are like scientific laws. They simply are. For example, the Earth's gravity has no opposite. It simply is. We can't escape it or defy it. We simply live in it. In the spiritual realm, the law of love simply is. It has no opposite. We can't escape it or defy it. We live in it and we're governed by it. So if we hope to be spared sickness, disease, and old age, we have to mentally obey these all-powerful laws. As we do, we overcome the mortal emotions and beliefs that cause painful physical and mental conditions. We may not understand the spiritual laws found in the advanced teachings of Christian Science, but we can understand moral laws, and we know when we are violating them. The violation of these laws is at the heart of illness. If we learn to obey them, we will not only heal illness, but we can also prevent it. Now next, I want to consider how these laws are basic to our day-to-day experience and how ignorant or willful defiance of them causes difficult, even incurable, illness. I want to help you understand how all important these moral and spiritual laws are. I often compare them to the law of gravity. If you defy the law of gravity, there are serious consequences. If you fall out of a plane or you jump off a cliff, the free fall is painless, but when it comes to an end, it's not good. So if you're not into pain, you're careful to obey this law. Now, moral and spiritual laws are just as absolute as the law of gravity. If we defy them, the free fall may last a long time, but when it starts coming to an end, it begins to be painful. If we don't learn to obey these laws through Christian Science, we learn to obey them through suffering. So, if you're not into pain, it's important to understand them. Let's take the law of honesty. We may think of honesty as an admirable trait, but it's more than that. It's a law. So if you're dishonest, your prayers may not be very successful because dishonesty violates this law. For example, lying, manipulating, deceiving, controlling, cheating, stealing, all forms of dishonesty, even in little ways, will sooner or later cause suffering. Can we afford secret acts of dishonesty, a little cunning manipulation, some harmless deceit, something slightly unethical because we know we won't be found out? Can we justify a dishonest thought or word or deed, knowing that dishonesty is a law that governs us? Well, not really. When we defy the law of honesty, we generate negative emotions and beliefs that cause sickness and disease. Dishonesty brings with it self-justification and self-righteousness and fear and guilt, self-condemnation, and many other harmful emotions. And such emotions darken the mind, and they either cause or prolong illness. And you know, no medical treatment can reform a dishonest mind. Furthermore, Mrs. Zeddy tells us in Science and Health, dishonesty forfeits God's help. Then there is the law of moral integrity. The tendency today is to sort of blur the sharp edges between right and wrong and to claim that morality is relative. But Miss Zeddy shows that there is no gray area between good and evil, spirituality and materialism, truth and error. We need to be trustworthy, reliable, and just towards others. When we do, we're free of the anxiety, insecurity, fear, and other negative emotions that cause illness of every kind. Now, let's take another example. Let's take the law of love. We often think of love as the nature of someone who is warm and gentle and kind and caring. But actually, spiritual love is a law. And the violation of this law is often the cause of serious, even seemingly incurable, mental or physical illness. For example, this law can be violated in what I call justified hatred. Some unjust thing is done to us, and we're hurt, angry, revengeful, holding hateful thoughts towards another. And we feel justified in this because this wrong actually happened to us. We didn't imagine it. But if we continue harboring this hate long enough, it will cause serious physical illness. And I remember in the distant past when an unfortunate set of circumstances brought a great deal of hatred and anger down on me for something I had been strongly advised to do. It was an action I would never have taken on my own, but I was given the impression that it was my moral obligation to do this. And when I followed this advice, it had terrible repercussions. It brought about great misunderstanding and hatred toward me by several I was close to, and there was nothing I could do to restore a good relationship with them. And I had never experienced anything like this before. It was overwhelming, and I reacted with hurt, anger, bitterness, and hatred of my own, and I couldn't seem to get over it. Finally, I prayed for an answer to it, and the thought came that I had to forgive them. Well, I thought, I can do that. I realized that they felt quite justified in being so angry over the situation. Also, I'd come to see that all the good that was mine came directly to me from God, and no one could deprive me of that, nor could they influence God against me. I also recalled Mrs. Eddy's statement, where she says, "Remember, thou canst be brought into no condition, be it ever so severe, where love has not been before thee, and its tender lesson is not waiting thee." So I forgave them. I thought about them one by one, and mentally I forgave them. And when I had no anger or resentment towards them, I found my joy and peace returning. I wish I could say that this restored good relationships with them, but it didn't, because they didn't choose to forgive me. However, this became an invaluable lesson for me, because from then on, I found I could forgive others for whatever they said or did, however unkind, unjust, or untrue. It made no difference. I could forgive them and walk on. I also learned from this that the law of love lifts us above personal sense, and we can maintain our joy and peace and poise when we have learned to forgive our enemies. I have seen over the years how hatred and anger and unforgiveness, often seemingly justified, have destroyed the minds and health and lives of others. The habitual violation of this law slowly causes us to suffer until we learn somewhere, somehow, that we must love. Christ Jesus' Sermon on the Mount tells us this so plainly. A heart filled with kindness, forgiveness, patience, gentleness, and humility softens the inner self, and we become receptive to healing. But how easy it is to violate this law. How often in our secret thoughts do we judge, criticize, and condemn another? How often are we hurt, angry, or resentful because others do not do what we think they should? Even the most hidden thoughts and emotions that are not loving harden the heart and cause sickness and disease. We may believe that we're justified in harboring these negative emotions. If so, this disobedience explains why we do not find healing. Is there a material remedy for a heart filled with hate or hurt, anger, or vindictiveness? Well, not really. These few examples show how moral and spiritual laws govern us, even though we're not conscious of their presence and power. As these laws are better understood, we learn how futile it is to try to overcome illness through material means. The fact is, we are sick, diseased, and aging because we ignorantly or willfully disobey the moral and spiritual laws of God. Next, I want to show how obeying God's laws draws us closer to Him. As we learn more about God's laws, we find that we live in a benign universe. The whole of creation is governed by laws of beauty, harmony, and perfection, because the universe is where God lives, This is his home. He creates and maintains it to perfection because his laws govern it. As we venture ever deeper into this hidden realm of divine love, we will learn that we're never beyond the control of these moral and spiritual laws because they're absolute and universal. If we don't obey these laws, we come under the influence of animal magnetism, or the belief in the reality of evil in matter. Through our study of Christian Science, we begin to recognize the difference between God's laws and the so-called laws of animal magnetism. Christian Science enables us to separate the laws of God that heal from the so-called laws of animal magnetism that cause all our suffering. The fact is, God has created only laws of good for man, laws of health, justice, peace, happiness, abundance, to name a few. Animal magnetism seems to come as laws of discord, limitation, pain, and suffering. But there are no cruel, harsh, destructive laws in God's universe. In reality, there is only the law of love. Just think of that. The laws that govern us from the inmost thoughts and feelings to the farthest reaches of the universe are all divinely enforced, and they exist only to bless you. These laws embrace you in God's loving care. They hold you in your right place. They maintain your health and give you every good thing because they're absolute. It's our belief in animal magnetism and its so-called laws that prevent God's laws from operating in our life. As we grow spiritually, God's laws become increasingly real, and we see them as the only governing force in the universe. Well, we don't bring them into operation. They're operating now. Only our belief in the reality of evil in matter prevents us from seeing this. As spiritual enlightenment removes the mental fog within, God's laws govern us harmoniously. Moral and spiritual laws relate to the inner self, the heart and soul and mind, where the issues of health and well-being are determined. Because these laws are absolute, we should take great care to guard our thinking and conform to them, for they are the foundation to a healing prayer. As we understand and obey them, we can heal with the same success we have now when we obey physical laws. You know, whether we're repairing a clock or sending a rocket into outer space, we have to do it according to the physical laws involved if we want it to work. As we learn to obey God's laws with the exactness that we obey physical laws, we will be free of mental and physical illness. As you understand the realm of supreme intelligence, you will find that the one mind inhabiting the universe is not some mystic presence, a great unknown God. Neither is it a cold, hard, impersonal mind with harsh laws and negative forces, unaware of our presence and indifferent to our understanding. It is a divine mind with warm, gentle, positive laws and qualities that we can understand and relate to. This one mind is a caring, loving Father, Mother, God. His intelligence, wisdom, and love are always present to help us understand his laws and be blessed by them. When we pray to God, we think of him as a spiritual presence with power to influence and govern what happens to us. So we pray to him like a father, drawing on this spiritual healing power by obeying his laws doesn't change this. God still hears us. We simply have a more intelligent way of relating to him. As our understanding of Christian Science unfolds, it renovates our mind. We learn to think in God's laws and obey them, and this changed mental state brings about healing. Spiritual healing begins in the inmost thoughts. It is then objectified in health and harmony, and in this way, we heal from the inside out. When healing takes place, we are entering the realm of supreme intelligence and experiencing the healing power that lives in this realm. When the problem is healed through a greater understanding of God's laws, it's permanently healed because the mental cause has been replaced with obedience to God's laws. Now, I want to conclude this talk by recommending an extraordinary book entitled Our Journey Toward True Selfhood. It has 3 association addresses by Frances Thurber Seal. You may be familiar with her book, Christian Science in Germany, in which she tells of her experiences and her incredible healing work while introducing Christian Science in Germany at the turn of the last century. Her association addresses are excellent explanations of the ideas I'm presenting in these talks. They come from an early worker who had such a deep understanding of scientific prayer that her views will be invaluable in helping you to understand how it works. I highly recommend both her books, Our Journey Toward True Selfhood and Christian Science in Germany. In my next series of talks, I want to explain how Christian Science treatment opens up this unseen realm of mind and enables you to heal through prayer alone. Again, I want to say I have enjoyed sharing these ideas with you. I hope you have enjoyed hearing them. Please remember, the spoken word is very fragile and temporary. So we listen to learn, but we must read to remember. I invite you to join me for a brief conclusion to this first series of talks on Christian Science in the 21st century. Meanwhile, I remind you of Christ Jesus' words, and they shall be all taught of God.